little thing. Okay, you ready for some cheese? Okay, everybody take your thumb. Some of you have heard this already, but take your thumb and look at your thumbprint. Look at that. Go ahead. Everybody look at it. Study it. Everybody's is unique. Did you know that? Nobody else has a thumbprint like you do. Every one of us is unique. Amen? You know what? You're really somebody. I told you it was cheesy. All right. Let's one more highlight here. For our Easter service coming up on the 14th of April, Good Friday service, that's going to be different. We're not advertising in the paper. If somebody comes in from outside, we won't kick them out. But basically what we're going to do on that night, I know three things are going to happen for sure. I know that we're going to gather here and we're going to worship God. We're going to praise God. I know that much. What God put in my heart is just to have a time of prayer and a time of praise. So we're going to praise Him and we're going to worship Him. And I talked to the worship team this morning and asked them, guys, be ready to go a little bit longer. And just songs that are worship that just sing to Jesus, sing to Him where we talk to Him. Have you ever noticed that sometimes songs sing to you, the congregation, telling you to do something? Have you ever noticed that in songs? And sometimes songs sing about God or they sing about Jesus. And then there are some songs that sing to Him, talk to Him. There's a lyric in a song I really like, and it says this: I don't want to talk about you like you're not in the room. I really want to talk to Him. I want to sing to Him. So a lot of the songs, maybe not all of them, but a lot of them will have that focus, just to worship Him, just to praise Him tonight, that night, and take a little extra time. And then we'll just break up into prayer. We'll just take time to pray. That's what I know we'll do. We'll pray. When worship ends, we'll pray. And somebody might go sit back in a chair all by themselves and pray, because that's how they like to pray. Might have some spots up here where people just come and kneel down. There might be little clusters of people who like praying together, and you just pray together for a while. And I don't have any set order or anything like that or length of time. I'm trying not to do that. And then when we get close to the end, you know, I'm assuming it'll be about an hour, we'll just worship some more. And during that time, during the worship at the beginning, during the time of prayer in the middle and at the end, just for that whole section that we're here, we'll have some communion set up in the back, and people will be able to just go and take and receive communion anytime during the course of that hour. Might just share a little bit at the beginning about communion, but just a time to get before God. Just a time to get before God. You know, there's this phrase, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always have what you've always had. I don't know about you, but I want more. I want more. I mean, I'm so thankful for what I got. I am so thankful for what I want. But I want more. There's more. I want more of God flowing through me. I want more of God's influence and more of God's impact on our community. I'm hungry for more. Anybody else in here just want more? And so a willingness to step out and do something I've never done before, just do something different and just get in the presence of God and wait on Him and seek Him and, you know, let Him do what He wants. How many of you know He really, you know, just let Him be in charge? Amen. Just let Him be in charge. So glory to God. Let's pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, thank You for Your word. Thank You for this time this morning. Thank You for this opportunity to share. And I just pray that You get done what You want done and help me to get done and go slow at the same time. In Jesus' name, amen. That is a really sincere prayer of mine. God, help me get done and go slow. Do you ever notice sometimes when you're trying to get something done, you go really fast? And then you look back at the job and you go, oh, wow. That wasn't as good as I would have liked it to have been. So my goal is to get done, but at the same time, go slow. Take your Bible, please. Open it up to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 4. And for those of you that weren't here 2 Sundays ago, I started talking about this, and I got a long ways done. And then after the during the course of the following week, I realized that there was a couple of key points I wanted to come back to and look at that was just in my heart to look at. So really short review. It'll be quick. I'm going to make it quick. And then we'll get to those two verses of Scripture that I didn't get to look at like I wanted to. And then we'll come back. And you can listen to the messages online if you haven't. You know, if you want to go back and you want to listen to it, because it is a good message. It'd be a little bit hard to pick something up because of the illustration we had, but I still think you could from that. Glory to God. Mark chapter 4. Now I need to get there. Mark chapter 4. We took our time and we read quite a bit in Mark chapter 4, and we started at verse 1 and we read all the way down verse through verse 32, and I'm not going to take the time to do that now, but it starts out, Jesus is, he's sowing some seed. It's just a small thing, sowing some seed. And then he makes this shift, and I want us to get the context. Notice verse 11, if you would, with me. Mark chapter 4, verse 11. I think this is a fascinating thing. Mark 4, verse 11. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know. Everybody say no. To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but that's a wow. To you, it has been given to know the mysteries of God. How many of you think that's pretty cool? To get to know the mysteries of God? Anybody's ears perking up a little bit? Ooh, I get to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God? Yeah. I want to tune in. I want to catch this. Okay. Now jump with me to verse 26. Same chapter, verse 26. Keep a marker in Mark 4, by the way. Verse 26. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. For the earth yields a crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. And when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Verse 30, then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we picture it? It's like a mustard seed, which, when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, and shoots out large branches, so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. So Jesus is talking about mysteries of the kingdom. And then in here, he's talking about, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture the kingdom of God? You know, part of what Jesus is teaching here, he's teaching about the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many of you'd like more of thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Can I share this with you? You have more control over that than anybody else. In your life, you have more control and more say-so and more influence over that than anyone else. Amen? You do. Now, we took some time, and with the illustration, we looked at some verses of Scripture. Back up to verse 21. And it says this in verse 21 on down to through 22. Also he said to them, is a lamp brought and put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to the light. And we talked about how God's Word is a light and God's Word is supposed to come to us. Amen. And we, at the end of the sermon, we said, Jesus said that He was the light of the world. And then we find where He said, you are the light of the world. Did you know it's us that we are the light of the world today? He didn't say you're a reflection of the light. He said, you're the light of the world. Wow. Okay. But we did something. We did something 2 weeks ago when we were looking at this, because Jesus did something here, and it struck a chord with me. Verse 22 again. There is nothing that which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to the light. If anyone has ears to hear, all of a sudden Jesus put this. If anyone has ears to hear, say ears to hear. Now check the person next to you. See if they got ears. You know, see if they got ears. Okay. Everybody in here has ears. Amen. So how many of us know He wasn't talking about physical ears? He's talking about ears, spiritual ears. He's talking about being able to hear spiritually. And then have you ever found out that sometimes we don't hear well? Did you know sometimes we have hearing problems? Favorite verse of scripture, and I know Ernie will like this verse of scripture because I think it kind of started talking to both of us at about the same. But there's this verse of scripture over in James, and it says, be swift to hear and slow to speak. Well, we'd do good with that right there. Be swift to hear. In other words, just in there right away. Hear. Swift to hear. And then slow to speak. And what's really cool is the next part. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. How many times does our slow hearing and fast talking not produce the righteousness of God? Man, so if we would do better at being swift to hear and slow to speak, a lot more of the righteousness of God would get produced. Amen. But we talked last week about, and I had an illustration 2 weeks ago, and I had a little light up here, and then I started putting baskets over it. Putting baskets. And then I used that and I likened it to that we often have baskets over our heads. And I try to find baskets that people have over their heads. Okay? And when church was getting over last Sunday, or 2 Sundays ago, I was going out and Ron Teetsort said, Pastor, you're talking about me. Pastor, when you started talking about that basket of Fox News being over my head, he just said, man, for hours, I'll have that basket. You got any baskets over your head? Anybody got a basket of CNN? MSNBC? See, we put different kinds of baskets over our head. Anybody got any religious baskets over your head? Well, you know what the Word ends up having to do lots of times when we got all these different baskets? Anybody got traditions from your past over your head that interfere and mess with the Word of God? Sometimes we do. You know, sometimes we got things from our past. I'm so thankful to God for this. But my dad was not a perfect dad. My dad did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, my dad was, I'm thankful that he started to break the chain. You know, my dad was horribly physically and verbally abused as a child. Terribly so. He would be beaten to where he was unconscious and laying on the sidewalk. And the neighbors would pick him up and take him in and nurse him back to health and take a couple weeks. I'm so thankful to my dad that he started to break that chain and he never passed that on to us kids. Now, with words, he is tough. He's hard, man. He can get you good. I mean, he'd get you. And I had to come through that. But somehow I'm so thankful to God that I never got this picture of my Father in heaven being like my Father on the earth. I never wrestled that. But do you know there's a lot of Christians who have the basket of their earthly father over their head? And see, when they hear the word about how good God is and how loving he is, guess what that word of God has to go through in order to get to them? It's got to go through that basket that they wear. And lots of times, the truth of how good God is as a father never makes it to their heart, because the truth gets filtered out in that basket. Is this making sense to you guys? I mean, it would do us good to get these different baskets off of our head that we have. And we might not even know we have them. How many of you would give somebody permission to say, hey, if you see a basket on my head, please tell me? Because that basket's causing me not to be able to hear the word. And then the flip side of what those baskets do is they stop the light from shining. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to be able to hear. So, these verses of Scripture. We can do it this way. Mark chapter 4, verse 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Oh, I wanted to have to come to my office after class. All right. I don't know. You can still come to my office after class. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Verse 24. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. Everybody say, take heed what you hear. Is there any exhortation from the Word of God for us to pay attention to what we hear? There sure is. Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, okay, let me just do something, bring this in here. When you read this in its context, what is he talking about before and what is he talking about afterward? Glad I stopped and brought this up. What's the context? What's the setting? What was Jesus teaching about? Hearing? Yeah, but at the very beginning of my message. To you, the mysteries of the kingdom. To what parable shall we picture the kingdom of God? Okay? Take heed what you hear. And remember I said, we, you as an individual, have more say-so over how much thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth than anybody else. Notice this verse right here. With the measure you use. Measure of what? Measure of what? Let me read it out of the Amplified. I really want to make sure we get this point across. Okay, out of the Amplified. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. Be careful what basket you have over your head. Be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. Wow. So if I give a whole lot of thought and study to something that's other than God's word, what am I going to have coming back to me? That I remember Alice down in Rushville. I loved Alice. Oh, I got to back up and do this. I asked Ron if I could bring his name up, you know. And he said, yeah, sure. You know what I love about Ron? I love his absolute honesty. And do you know that there is no guile in him right there? He is as pure and as true and sincere as human beings come. There's no guile. There's no deception. There's just this, I want the things of God. And if I see something in the way that's stopping me from getting the things of God, well, let's get that thing out of the way. I love honesty like that. I love purity like that. I love the absence of pride. Amen. Hallelujah. So it just blessed me. Yes, Ron. Okay. Amen. But why? And why? Because it's getting too much of it, right? Just getting too much of it. You know? Be careful what you are hearing. The measure. Everybody say measure. The measure of thought and study. Okay, who's in charge of what you get to hear? You are. Amen? Primarily you are. Most of the time you are. You know, sometimes that's taken away from you when you're sitting in school. Amen? You know, you've got to hear that. You know, be wise, give yourself to it and that. But the vast majority of the time, most of us, we get to be in control of what we're hearing. And I love this. So here's the truth. The measure of thought and study I give to the Word, the measure of the thought and study. And the Word is what? What is it talking about here? The context again? The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. Now, do you really want the kingdom of heaven? Turn and ask the person next to you, do you really want the kingdom of heaven? Okay. Now say to the person next to you, because you can have it if you want it. Isn't that true? You can have it if you want it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I tell you what, you can have it. You can have the kingdom of heaven here on this earth. Amen. You can enjoy the blessings of heaven. I know I am to a degree. How many other people in here are enjoying the blessings of heaven to a degree? How many would like more? I'd like more. I'd take more. I'd take more of it. I'd take more of those blessings. And then let me say this, because sometimes I think people think, well, man, you Christians can just be so selfish. You just want the heaven. And just want heaven in your life. Amen. I do. Hallelujah. The more heaven I got, the more I get to shine heaven. You know, and I like this statement. I mentioned it Wednesday night. I'm going to mention it again. How many of you in here have given away something that you didn't first receive? Name something you've given away that you didn't first receive. Makes us think, doesn't it? So here's my point. Go ahead and receive and receive and receive and receive and receive and take in of the kingdom of heaven. And then go ahead and receive and receive and receive and take in the Word of God. Bunches. Bunches and bunches and bunches. And you are in charge. It's funny, everybody wants to be in control but not be responsible. Did you ever notice that? Well, I want to be in charge, but I don't want to be responsible. But guess what? You don't get one without the other. Amen. Think about it. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear. The measure of thought and study you give to the word you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to find myself giving more thought and study to the Word of God. I want to get more and more and more. Word. Why? Because more and more and more of the kingdom of heaven is going to be manifesting and showing up in my life. and in my family's life, and then spreading to the people around me. More and more and more of the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. And I know that I have huge part to play in this. I know that you have a huge part to play in it. But how many of us like to play the blame game? Well, I didn't get a lot of hands on that one. Turn and look at someone and say, I know there are people in here who like to play the blame game. Amen. How many of us do that? Don't we like to blame somebody? We do. We like to blame somebody. It's somebody's fault. It can't be my fault. Yeah, turn and look at somebody and say, oh, yes, it can. Oh, yes, it can. It can be my fault. One of the things I've learned to do over the years is when it's my fault, when I make a mistake, just, okay, there it is. Praise God. I can stop making that one. Amen. I can quit doing that. I don't have to keep repeating that one. I can change that one. Amen. Glory to God. Turn and look at the person next to you and say, I'm sure glad you're here today. Because you really need to hear this. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you know we got to hold on to the Word of God? We can have a basket of religion. Go with me to Galatians chapter 2. I wasn't going to go here, but this fits in so good. You know, over in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16, Jesus talks about beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. When he says beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, what's he telling us to beware of? Come on now. Boy, you guys are way quiet on me today. Beware of the teaching. Beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. Do you know that there's things that we have to beware of? That we have to beware of? And it's amazingly how quickly the enemy can sneak in and try to get things from us. We gotta give thought and study to what we hear. And then we also gotta determine to hang on to it. Because I asked myself this question. If you have leaven, and ladies, you're going to have to help me here on this one. Maybe there's some men in here that can help me on this one. But when you put leaven in a little bit of dough, what does that leaven do to that dough? Causes it to rise. In other words, it affects the whole lump, right? It affects the whole thing. How long does that take? Doesn't take long. So if I actually would have started with one thing of dough and had leaven in it, and one thing with dough and didn't have leaven in it, started it at the beginning of the message, by the end of the message, the one that had the leaven in it could have risen, could have been affected. Okay, and that's what Jesus is saying. That little bit of leaven, it'll affect the whole lump. It'll affect the whole thing. Wow, I'm not doing as well as I hope to be. But you guys getting this? Amen. I'm going not too fast. Okay. Praise God. I wonder how long it takes a little bit of leaven, a little bit of wrong to get in and affect the whole lump. Not very long. Watch this in Galatians. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Galatia. And it's the writing of that letter, and this is where Paul is remembering of some things that went on. But in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Galatians 2, verse 11. Now when Peter had come down from Antioch, I withstood him. So basically what you got is you got a little bit of conflict going on between Paul and Peter. Paul's withstanding him. Paul's not liking something Peter's doing. And Paul said, I withstood him. I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Now, who's Paul talking to? Peter? And who is Peter? He's no slouch, is he? He'd walked with Jesus for 3 years. He got to preach on the day of Pentecost. And here's Paul. withstanding him to his face. All right? Because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. Wow. So what's going on here? You got Peter. He's down here. And notice some of these things. Before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. So what would Peter do? He'd go over and sit down and have fellowship with the Gentiles. He'd talk to them and have a good time and how you doing, buddy, da 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 da. You know, and it's just Peter and it's all these Gentiles around here. No Jews. And then what happens? But when they came, when these Jews come, he withdrew and separated himself. Won't talk to them anymore. Now he starts to shun them. Wow. Fearing. Everybody say fearing. Wow. How many times does fear have a very negative effect on our faith and on our life? Amen. How many times does fear get us to walk away from truth? Fearing those who were of the circumcision. You know, in other words of saying it, those who were of the law. Those who were of the old covenant. Amen. Wow. How long does it take for a little leaven to sneak its way in? How many of you know you have to be careful what you hear? You have to be careful what you hear. Okay. He withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Now watch this. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite. How long did it take for the rest of these Jews? Wow. How quickly was division coming into the body of Christ? Carrying something of the old and not letting it fellowship. You know, I'll tell you what, stuff can sneak in quickly. Sneak in quickly. And then I really like something. I'll go a little bit farther and then I'm going to throw a thought at you as we start to wind down this morning. And it blows me away. So that even Barnabas. You know why I think it's interesting that Barnabas gets highlighted here? Because what was Barnabas' role? What did Barnabas do a lot in his walk? In his fellowshipping with people. Barnabas was a great one for bringing together. He was a great one for putting people together and getting them to unite. But this happens so quickly that even Barnabas gets pulled away. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get pulled away from the truth. And I don't want to get pulled away from people. I don't want some religious tradition to keep me from fellowshipping with other people. There's a friend of mine, Chad Kramer, and just such great respect for him. He is the head of the Buffalo Herd, and I guess I don't know any of these people, okay, and I don't know any names, so I won't share, but I like things when they're real, when they're everyday. And there's some guy who was a part of the Buffalo Herd Roundup, and I guess he rubs people wrong. He irritates people. Just his personality and just the way he is. He just bugs people and lives in some other town. And everybody was trying to get Chad to stop inviting him. Don't invite him. Don't invite him. Don't invite him. Don't invite him. He's kind of a pain. He's obnoxious. He rubs us wrong. He's irritating. Blah, 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 blah. And Chad just, no. No. The guy's good at what he does. And I'm not going to just uninvite him because you don't like him. And I, you know what? I admire that. You know, I think we need some more of that stuff in the world. And Jan, would that ever come in handy in school? Dealing with middle school kids or high school kids? You know, I love the kid who will go and reach out and love on the kid that everybody's picking on. Man, how about if we're that way as believers? Glory to God. I'm going to stay. And then here's something so important. Verse 14, the Apostle Paul. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel. What weren't they? They weren't straightforward with the truth. One of the things I'm learning is I want everybody to like me. I want everybody to know what a nice guy I am. I just want everybody to know that. You know, when we get done today, I'm going to take a poll and see how well you liked my sermon. And when we get done, if you didn't like one part, I'll change that part for next week, you know. Da, da, da. No. But I do have that. I have this thing where I want people to like me. And sometimes that causes me to not be straightforward with the truth. Man, we can't afford that. How many of you know we need to be straightforward with the truth? I mean, it doesn't mean I got to go start a fight all the time, you know, be nitpicking all the time. But boy, we need to be straightforward with the truth. We need to be straightforward with the truth because sometimes when you're dancing around a subject so much, people actually never figure out what the subject was in the first place. Sometimes you got to be like Paul was and looked at Peter straight on in front of everybody and said, "Hey, hypocrite buddy there." And just, boom, be straightforward. But none of us like that. None of us like being in those situations and things like that. But there's a real need for being straightforward. Okay, I'm going to introduce this, and I'm not going to go very far. Let me ask you a question. I'm asking this with total sincerity. Let you really think about it. How many of you in here believe that we are living... I could say it this way. You believe we're living closer to the end times than we ever have before. I don't want to phrase it that way. How many of you think we're living in the last days? Can I get a show of hands? Not just a nodding. I want a show of hands. Okay, and then if you believe that, there's not a test on this afterwards. Go ahead, don't put your hands down yet. Please, if you believe that we're living in the last days, you believe that we're living in the end times, you know, raise your hand, keep it up. Now, I want you to think about something. If you actually believe that, what does the Bible say? What effect does the Bible say that that should have on our lives? What effect does, and now if I actually believe that I'm living in the end times, what does the Bible say? What effect should I let the Bible have on my life? What impact should it have? Now, Pastor, how does all this pertain to be careful what you hear? I'm going to do this. I like to do this. I'm going to give you guys some verses of Scripture. And we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to stop with that one. But I'm going to give you several other passages of Scripture, okay? Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. Turn there. And did you know that we were warned over and over, and I think I'm going to pick this up next week, no promises, but I think I'm going to pick this up where I'm leaving off here this week and next week. We're going to go talking about some of the things that's going to be happening in the last days and what we should be doing to be living according to what the Scripture says about what's going to be going on in the last days. Here's one thing. That is so clear. Peter wrote about it. Jude wrote about it. John wrote about it. Paul wrote about it. I mean, it's in the Scriptures a lot. You know, one of the things that's going to be going on in the last days? Deceivers. Deceivers. Deception. Can we go to two passages of Scripture? I got some smiles, but I didn't get any nods. Says, Pastor, sometimes you can take an hour at one passage of Scripture. I won't do that. But just go to me here in Ephesians 4. This is one of the things that ought to be going on in the last days. This is one of the things. There's things that will be going on. Verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. My job is to equip you so you guys edify each other. So you guys build each other up. Why? Because in the end times, there's going to be a lot of deception at work. A lot of deception at work. Okay, verse 12 again. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now notice this. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man. Do you know to come to maturity in the body of Christ requires all of us? It requires all of us. Turn and look at somebody and say, oh, he's talking about you now. He's talking about me now. It requires you to come to the fullness of Christ. It requires all of us. It's not just the preacher's job. Amen? To a mature man, to the measure and the stature, the fullness of Christ. Now watch this. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men. Everybody say trickery of men. Trickery of who? Trickery of men. Trickery of men. Human beings with flesh on. Not some spirit that you can't see. Trickery of men. By the trickery of men in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You know what? In the end days, there's going to be a lot of deception going on. But we need to take heed what we hear. We need to really hear the truth of God's kingdom, hear the truth of God's word. We need to really hear and give thought and study, because the degree of thought and study we give to it will be the measure that comes back to us. And then we need to realize that there's going to be deceivers around us that are trying to sneak stuff in. And we got to be able to, oops, something wrong with that. Oh, there's the truth. I'll run with that. Oh, something wrong with that. And know that it's going to come from people. Okay? And we got to be aware of that. And then we got to be building each other up. We got to be encouraging each other. We got to be strengthening each other. We got to just be loving on each other. Will you guys all do me a favor? I did not get a response on that one. It's a pretty easy one. This is what it is. How many of you during this week, either through phone call, email, or text, will make contact with a member of this church family and just love on them? Deliberately make a point to do that. I will send somebody a text. I will give them a phone call. I will have a cup of coffee with them. I'll give them an email. I will do something deliberately to encourage and build up my brother and sister in the Lord this week. And then that's scriptural. That's just doing the Bible. Just build them up. And you don't have to stop with one. Amen? You could get a whole bunch of them. All right. Next verse of scripture. You guys okay? Acts 20. Acts 20. It's just now getting close to 11. I'm doing good, you guys, believe it or not. I hope somebody goes, oh, I thought it was 12. I hope not. You know what's worse than listening to a long-winded preacher, don't you? Listening to a long-winded, what was that? I think I need to come back here. So, Janine, how do you think my wife feels every Sunday? But what's worse than listening to a boring preacher? Listening to a long-winded, boring preacher. You know what's worse than that? Being a long-winded, boring preacher. Okay. All right, Acts 20. Just verse 17 and 18 of Acts 20, real quick. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. Okay, so the Apostle Paul is calling for the elders of the church from Ephesus because he wants to talk to them. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in whatever manner I always lived among you." So who's Paul talking to? He's talking to the elders of Ephesus. Okay? That's who he's talking to. Now, flip over a few pages with me. Well, same chapter. I got to flip my page. Verse 28. This is a strong warning. Verse 28. He's talking to the elders of Ephesus, and he says, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." You know what? Know something? I take that verse of Scripture serious. And I remind myself every now and again that you, each and every one of you in here, you were purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. A very high price was paid to get you, and you're worth something. Amen? And I need to remind myself of this. I need to remind myself of what Jesus says you're worth. The value he places on you as a pastor, I need to remind myself of that. Okay? And then Paul's talking to him, he's going to be leaving, and he says, "For I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." What's going to happen? He knows people are coming in, and they're not going to spare the flock. Now keep reading. "Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after himself." How many of you think Paul knew what he's talking about? So not only would people come from without, but what would happen with within? People would rise up within, wanting to. How many of you know we gotta pay attention to ourselves? Hallelujah. I want us to do what the Apostle Paul said, just back up to verse 20. I think I want verse 20. Verse 24, I just love this, where Paul says, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, that I might finish my race with joy." How many of you in here want to finish your race with joy? Well, you know what's vital in finishing your race with joy? Making sure that you have ears to hear. And I'm leaving out a lot of scriptures. Knowing the times that we live in, we better be in tune to what we're hearing. Or something can sneak in. And just think, just the reason I bring that verse, even from people among you. Even from people among you, if you've got a good friend and they start saying something goofy, what impact could that have on you as opposed to a perfect stranger saying something goofy? Which one's more apt to get you? The friend, because they're the friend. Well, what do we have to stay true to? We have to stay true to the Word. We have to stay true to the Holy Spirit. Amen. We got to stay true to God. We got to stick with God no matter what. And we'll see if we pick up there next week or not. Let's all go ahead and stand up. Amen. Did you get anything out of that? How many of you want more of the kingdom of heaven? What you going to do about it? Isn't it cool that it's under your control? You have great say-so. The more thought and study, the more you give yourself to hearing the Word of God. And something we do every Sunday in here, never going to stop unless God would come down and tell me to, but not going to quit. Hallelujah. If you are in this building today and you have never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, that invitation is available to you right now. Right now. Jesus Christ loves you. The power of God is present to forgive. The power of God is present to save. The power of God is present to turn you from having a sin nature to being a new creation in Christ Jesus. God's power is present to make you a brand new creature. Wash away every sin. Wash away every sin. And make you absolutely pure, clean, and holy in the eyes of God. And if you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're invited to do so today. If you need healing in your body, if you need encouragement, if you just need someone to stand with you and pray, hallelujah, I got Sally here. She'll pray. I'll stay up here and pray. Brian, I don't know if you want to come up and pray or not. Okay. Hallelujah. But I'm going to just finish up here with prayer. And Sally and I'll be up here. She'll be on that side and I'll be on this side. And we'll pray with you. We'll pray with you. You need healing in your body? You need someone to lay hands on you and just love on you and stand with you? You want to get to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? You're welcome to come up here. And then when I get done praying, go ahead and start sneaking out and making your way downstairs for fellowship and just all the fun that we get to have the rest of the day. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. I thank you so much, Father God, for loving us like you do. I thank you for each and every person that is in this room today. And God, if by chance, if there is a person or persons and they've never said, Jesus, forgive me of my sin, they've never done that, they know about you and they've heard about you and they believe in you, but they've never directly come to you and said, Jesus, forgive me of my sin and please be my Lord and Savior. Father, if there's anyone in the building today that's never done that, we invite them to come forward and to do that today. Father, if there's anyone in this building who needs healing in their body, anybody in this building that just wants prayer and encouragement, God, thank you, thank you, thank you for having that for them. And Father, as we go downstairs to fellowship, thank you for the food. Thank you for the time that we get to be with each other and just the love that gets shared back and forth. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So